And so when we started camp, we had a vision. And the vision was that we would sow into young people the gospel. And I know that sounds pretty cliche, but most of us grew up with a half gospel. We understood that Jesus died for our sins, but we didn't understand the extent, the depth, the length, the breadth of God's love. And so a lot of us had to unlearn things. Like for me, I came up in Pentecostal churches, and you know, there was a lot of legalism. You're saved one day, you're going to hell the next day. You're saved at church, you're going to hell on the way to McDonald's. And so we had to overcome a lot of that stuff. And so the vision of this camp was is that we could sow the good things, a good father, that your identity, your righteousness, your security in the Father is safe, and that they wouldn't have to unlearn all the things that we had to unlearn, that they could learn it correctly, learn it right. And so we started out with, this week here, we started out with Friday night. And Friday night was titled, Welcome to the Family. And what we wanted to do was use that night for people that didn't know Jesus, that we could give them opportunity to come and be part of the family. And the reason we named it Welcome to the Family was because it's not just about going to church. It's not just about I'm going to heaven. But when you come to Christ, when you come to Jesus, you legitimately have now entered a family where you have one father. Doesn't matter what your daddy on earth was like, you have a good father, and he's the same father for all of humanity. You've got a brother, and you've been blood purchased. You're part of a family. And so we went from that to yesterday, identity. And the reason we do that is because when I receive Jesus, when I get saved, when I get born again, if you will, what happens is all my old things have been washed away and I become a new creation, right? And so I become completely different. The word new is kainos, and it's like something that's never been seen before. I'm completely changed from the inside out. Matter of fact, the scripture says that I'm exactly like Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Actually, Romans 6 says it this way. It says that I'm like the resurrected Jesus. Like in this earth, I'm like Jesus in his resurrected form. And so what do I think the number one crutch in the church is? Is we don't know who we are, right? And so we tackle that pretty hardcore yesterday. And I think most of the pastors involved with this probably tackle that in their churches. And so then the next thing today is what we call what's next. So I'm saved, I'm perfect, and so where do I go from here? And so tonight we're going to kick off with what's next. And what's next is you have the Holy Spirit. You've been empowered. God didn't just save you and leave you here. He didn't just save you and leave you an orphan, but God literally saved you, and he came and he made his dwelling with inside of you. He is now tabernacling inside of every person. So if you've known me for very long, Holy Spirit has always been one of my favorite topics because I love the signs, I love the wonders, I love the miracles. I love rolling in the floor. I grew up Pentecostal. I'm used to people running across the top of the pews. We were called holy rollers because we would roll on the floor. I'm used to that stuff. I love that stuff. And so when I first went into ministry, that's all. I was chasing the glory. Like I wanted more glory, more glory, more glory. If there was glory, I didn't care what they preached. If there was somebody that had an anointing that was nearby, me and my wife was showing up at that church because I wanted to get some of that. And so, but some of you know, most of you know, that's how I knew the Holy Spirit. I knew the Holy Spirit as the power. I knew the Holy Spirit as the healer. I knew the Holy Spirit as the one that was living inside of me, right? And here's what I'll say is, Holy Spirit is God on the earth. The Father's not on the earth. The Father is in a place called heaven. I don't know if it's 2 miles west of Mars, but he's in a place called heaven. And the Son is setting by the Father, but the Holy Spirit is God on earth right now. So like if you ever said that God spoke to me, what you're saying is the Holy Spirit spoke to you. Holy Spirit's within you. If you've ever prayed and seen any healing, It's the Holy Spirit that brought the power. You know, the authority's in the name, but the power is in the Holy Spirit. If you've ever had a word of knowledge or you've ever had a prophetic word, that's the agency of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is speaking those things to you. I think one thing that we got it wrong when I was in Pentecostal churches was we seen the Holy Spirit as an it. It was the thing. You know, and this church has more Holy Spirit than this church. But the Holy Spirit's not an it, and it's not a thing, and it's not something that you get more of. The Holy Spirit's a person, right? And it's important that you understand that, because if you think the Holy Spirit's an it, you'll treat it like an it. But if you begin to realize the Holy Spirit's a person, then you will begin to have a relationship with this person. I recorded a few things about the Holy Spirit. He speaks. He has a will. He is knowledgeable. He teaches. He has a mind. He loves. He can be grieved or insulted. He is eternal, omnipresent. That means he exists everywhere. He is omniscient, which means he knows everything. Scripture is clear that he was involved in the creation of the world along with the Father and the Son. He brought life into mankind when he was excelled by the Father. Holy Spirit is personally involved and necessary for the salvation of every soul. No one would be able to meet or receive Jesus without the Holy Spirit drawing them. Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. Holy Spirit convicts the church of its righteousness. He works miracles. He reveals the will of God. He continually points to Jesus. Holy Spirit confirms that Jesus is the Christ, and he continually aided Jesus to confirm his work. And what I mean by that is Jesus was a man, and all the things that you've seen him doing or you read about him doing, he was not doing them as God. He was doing it as a man that had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean to you? Well, if you're a human and you have the Holy Spirit, you can do greater things than Jesus did. Amen? So, and I don't want to go here to make it to feel sorry for myself. I'm doing amazing. This is the best I've probably been in my entire life. But about 2 years ago, I started finding myself going on this rapid decline where I had thoughts that I couldn't control. I felt like my whole world was caving in. And when it started, I kind of felt like, you know, I went into a depression, and when it started, I kind of felt like, I'll be better tomorrow. It's okay. I just had a bad day. Just write that off. And then the next day, and then the next day, and then that becomes a week, and then it becomes a month. And then I come to the realization, like, I am not shaking this thing. And I kind of recognized it, because in my 20s, I had a depression. I went into a depression. The difference is, in my 20s, I self-medicated with alcohol, pills, and drugs. Being a pastor, that wasn't part of the deal this time. And so I immediately started therapy. And I started going to therapy. My therapist says to me, I started going to therapy in February of 2023. And my therapist says, hey, this is going to get worse before it gets better. And I was like, it can't get much worse than this. But it got worse. By June of 2023, I literally was at a place in my life where I didn't know that I could go another day feeling the way I felt. I was at a place in my life where taking my life was becoming a very serious subject that was, those thoughts were constantly in my mind all the time that I couldn't go on. Last year, when I came to camp here, I don't know if anybody noticed, I'd slip in and I'd slip out. I actually had to go to therapy while I was in camp, and I didn't do a whole lot last year because I was in a really bad place. And so, and here's the thing, as I literally run two businesses, both of them are somewhat successful. We were in the middle of building a church. I have an amazing wife. I have two okay kids. I have a pretty awesome church. I have an awesome church family that we've been together for years. And we're building a new church. And so so not only is this is happening the same year that we're planning on kicking off the new facility of our new building. This is happening right after my construction company bought about $500,000 property to start building stuff on. And this is happening right in the middle of my business expanding faster than it's ever expanded and us making changes quicker than we've ever made them. So not only is all these good things happening, but at the same time, I have all this pressure on me and I'm feeling like I can't keep on like this because I'm not going to maintain. I'm not going to be able to just go into this new church. I'm not going to be able to run this business. I'm not going to be able to do this. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's going on when these type of things begin to happen to you in your life. You can try to push through. You can try to fight through. At the end of the day, you're going to have to submit, right? So actually last year at camp, Michael Wilson was here, and Michael comes up to me, and he says, hey, he says, God says, don't resent me. And I hadn't even thought about it, but I thought, why would God say, of course I resent you, bro. Like, you're supposed to be my healer. You're supposed to be the one that comes in and makes things right. Yeah. And then I get to, right after that, that was a night service. Michael tells me that. The next day I meet my therapist, and my therapist is a good Baptist girl, and she says, you know what I think? I think God's doing this to you. Like, not God's caused me to go into depression, but God is making me face things that I haven't ever faced in my life. And I'm like, oh, and I'm not supposed to resent him. We could have just left all that stuff 40 years ago. I didn't need to deal with this stuff now. But here I am, right here in the middle of one of the roughest seasons of my life, if not the roughest. I'll tell you right now, I'm grateful for that season of my life. I never would want to go through it again, but it is probably the best thing that ever happened to me. So let me read my scripture to you, and let me explain to you why I'm talking about this tonight. Apostle Paul writes this to the Roman church, and he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace which we stand. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, when I was in the middle of my breakdown, I didn't get this great revelation and it set me free. I literally had to pick myself up every day and piece myself back together. But here is why I was able to piece myself back together. Romans 5:3, let's go back there. He says, not only that, but we also glory. And what the word glory there means, we rejoice or we boast in our tribulations. And that word tribulations there is pressing, okay? And so what that's saying is, let me say this. We used to always say in our church, we used to always talk about you can't get offended. You can't be offended. And that I can't offend you. You might have offense in your heart, and I can apply pressure and reveal what's in your heart, but I can't offend you, right? And so what was happening to me is I had a lot of stuff buried deep, deep in my heart, and not tribulation, like bad things begin to happen, a pressing began to happen, right? And it began to squeeze me, and I did not rejoice in it, and I was not boasting in it. I did not enjoy it. But what it did was, is things that I buried down from the time I was 3, 4, like, I'll share this. My parents were married and divorced twice. My dad was a second man in the state of Oklahoma to get custody of his kids because it didn't matter in Oklahoma if you're a woman, you got the kids. I grew up in drug house, abusive homes. I've seen everything. My dad had to take us in the middle of the night to Noel, Missouri. That bird just pooped, praise God. Hallelujah. And then all of a sudden, I'm ripped out and I'm put into Noel, Missouri, of all places. If you're from Noel, I'm sorry. But anyway, hallelujah. But I show up at Noel, Missouri. I know absolutely nobody, don't have a family. And so what do you have to do? Well, you have to put on this face and you have to keep moving. And so what I did was all the dysfunction that I grew up in, I just pushed it down. And I used it as fuel to help me become successful. Anytime I wanted to quit, I would remember those times and I would say, you can't quit. You got to keep going. Everybody expects you to be a failure. Everybody expects you not to succeed. So you can't stop. And so I would push myself and push myself, and I would never let myself wave the white flag of surrender, right? And I'm not going to go into when I had my encounter, but I had an encounter with Jesus. That was the first time I ever raised that white flag of surrender. But here I am at 46 years old, should be living the best days of my life, and I'm at the worst place I've ever been in my life, and it's because I started getting this pressing on my life. I started getting squeezed from all direction, and all these things that I buried deep within my heart all of a sudden began to just come out, and there was nothing I could do to push them back in, right? I share this because I know some of you kids can relate to being in a divorced homes, abused homes, sexually assaulted. All these things are your reality. And what I want to say to you is don't try to push it down, because you'll be 46 years old one day and it's going to come back. Find somebody to talk to. Find somebody you can trust and begin to process these things and heal. Now, don't carry the bitterness and unforgiveness for 40 years, because I did. But he says that we rejoice in. Well, I can rejoice in it now. I have the ability to rejoice into that season. I don't have the ability to run a laptop, though. Here we go. Then he says, it produces perseverance. That word perseverance means endurance. And perseverance produces character. And character just means a trustiness. And character produces hope. And hope is this confidence or this expectation that God's going to do. It's this hope or expectation of the good things that God has for you. And verse 5. Now hope, that expectation, will never disappoint you. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Yeah. Holy Spirit's a healer. The Holy Spirit walks in miracles. If you've ever been in services where people are getting slain in the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. If you've ever talked in tongues, that's the Holy Spirit. But not only that, the reason that I didn't go past the thoughts of taking my life, because I had experienced the love of God in my heart, and it was poured in there by the Holy Spirit, and I had this thing inside of me that I knew that I knew that I knew that I was going to get to the other side of this. I had no doubt. Even though that some days I'd wake up and feel like I'd never get to the other side, I knew that I was going to get to the other side because I had encountered and experienced the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, I don't want to take any away from my therapist, but I have no doubt that it was God in the middle of all of those things that I was dealing with that was somehow weaving his hand in my heart, and he began to just shift things and began to pull out insecurity and began to pull out brokenness and began to pull out things that I had let covered up, I'd let define me for so long. And I'll say this. The person, if you knew me 3 years ago, you don't know me now. I'm just a different person in a better way. I'm different because I'm not an insecure person. I don't have to get angry to get my way. I'm just what God has done to me. So today, what's next? Well, the Holy Spirit's what's next. The Holy Spirit in your life is what's next. And I know some of you might feel like that you're alone, that you're experiencing things. Look, you have not experienced anything that somebody else has not experienced. There's not a person in here that's been through something that somebody else hasn't been through, right? Matter of fact, you might think that you're the only person in this room that's been through something, and I'm going to bet that you're not the only person in this room that's been through what you've been through. And I don't know what you've been through. But I promise you, if you've been through sexual assault, there's adult women in here that's been through sexual assault. If you've been molested, there's adults in here that have been molested. If you've been abandoned, there's adults in here that's been abandoned. If you've experienced rejection, there's adults in here that's experienced rejection. If you're insecure, there's adults in here right now that are insecure. You're literally not alone. But more than that, besides the leaders that God has put into your life to help guide you and lead you through these awkward seasons, he's also put the Holy Spirit in your life. So even when times when you're in your bedroom and you just feel miserable, you're not alone. Matter of fact, this is why when I started out, I said we used to call the Holy Spirit an it, because he was like this potion that if we did something, the Holy Spirit would do something. The problem with that is he becomes like this magic formula that we use to bring healing and goosebumps in a service. And then we miss the person of the Holy Spirit that's our comforter, that's our helper, that's our lover, that goes inside. And he's the healer. He's the one that went into my heart and began to pull out lies and began to pull out hurts and began to pull out brokenness. And it wasn't, I'd love to say, like, God just hit me one day and I was healed. It didn't work that way. Matter of fact, I still go to therapy now. But what he did do is he began to slowly pull that stuff out, and he began to slowly replace it with truth that I already knew. I stood behind this microphone for almost 15 years now telling everybody else that you're loved by God, that you're perfect, that you're holy, and while I'm saying that, I don't even feel that about myself. I've stood behind this. I've been in services where I've prayed for people, and I've watched people come out of wheelchairs. I've watched blind eyes open. I've watched deaf ears open. I've watched legs grow out, and I not feel that important. The reason I'm making that point is it wasn't until I began to know the Holy Spirit on a different level, that he was the one that poured the love of God out in my heart, that I actually began to realize what this was really about. And it wasn't about him just fixing me. Say, we think, well, God, we need God to fix us. He will fix us, but it's not normally the way that we think we want him to. Hallelujah. So, if I could get you to stand up. Actually, let's do something different. We haven't done this. Yeah, you got to stand up. Stand up. Hallelujah. Don't hold hands yet, because I'll probably preach for a few more minutes. If we get the band, and we just get all the leadership to come down.